Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Before Rick goes on the radio on the Mighty Mox, he's going to join us to reminisce about Whitey Herzog here on 101 ESPN. And Rick, we thank you for joining us. We know it's early in the morning on the coast, and we know that these are tough times, and it's never a pleasant situation. But man, so many stories, and I know a guy that you absolutely revered in Whitey Herzog.
Well, I did, Randy, and good morning to you and Danny and Brooke. And I'm glad to be on with you, because honestly, talking about Whitey just seems appropriate. You know, Whitey was such a good communicator and such a good talker and storyteller, and that's just part of who he was. I felt like the game last night was a game that he would have loved to have been in a seat and watch. Of course, there were a lot of open seats here in Oakland, and he would have been able to just enjoy a game that was decided by doing the things right and the other teams doing the things wrong, and that was really what set him apart. And you know, one thing I've been talking about him a lot for the last day, and I do really think about his family a lot right now, but his family extended to his players and his coaches and his trainers. I'm glad you had Gino on, and but also Cardinal fans. I mean, his family allowed Whitey to be a part of our family, and so the kind of the storytelling just kind of goes along with it.
Hey, Rick, I want you to do one quick thing for us and tell us why so many guys from your team, yourself and Todd and Ken Daly and Andy Van Slyke and so many others, Glenn Brummer, why do all of you guys still live in St. Louis?
Well, it's because of Whitey Herzog, and I'm so glad you asked that question and led me there. And I don't think, first of all, his influence was extraordinary on a young player. If you could imagine getting to play for a guy that everybody was already revering. He wasn't a Hall of Famer yet, but everybody knew how great a manager Whitey was and was going to continue to be. So after my first year playing with the Cardinals, Whitey called me in his office and said, look, I want you to know you're going to be on this team next year. Nobody said that. I mean, I had a good year, but what if I'm terrible the next year? I mean, you're going to be on this team. You might be a starter. You might be a reliever. So I suggest that you buy a place here in St. Louis and get connected to the community. So your manager says that. What do you do as a young, I was 23 years old, and, my wife's from Virginia. I'm from New York, but we became St. Louisans on a dime. And so he said, you can get connected to the community. You can reach out to people, learn, get to know the area. And so that's why 95 former players live in St. Louis. It became like a domino. It wasn't just me. It was a lot of guys. I lived on the same street as Terry Pendleton and Tom Herr. And Andy Van Slyke was in the neighborhood. It was a good neighborhood. I couldn't make all neighborhoods, but but the point is we became St. Louis and because he wanted us to feel what it's like to play and to be a Cardinal, not just to play for the Cardinal, not to be a mercenary, but to be a St. Louisan, and he's the reason that that's happened over time.
And he was also a master of putting together a clubhouse. What were the clubhouse? What was it like with Whitey and how he was able to manage the clubhouse?
Well, Brooke, he did two things. First of all, he had the shortest meetings of any. I mean, everybody would love to work for Whitey Herzog because, people that don't like meetings, because his meetings were never more than 2 minutes. And, the first meeting I went to, the first thing he said, okay, I got three rules. And I'm ready to take notes like a college graduate, and I got my pen out, and I'm like taking notes. Play hard, be on time, and if you get thrown in jail, call me first. And I went, oh, wow. Now, he stopped saying that third thing over time because I think he ended up kind of having to do that a few times. But the point is,
he managed Pedro Guerrero.
And others. But the point is he demanded excellence, but the way he built the clubhouse, the way he built the connection was by, using his coaches very well and also using his veteran players very well. The George Hendricks, the Bruce Suters, the Bob Forces had really kind of had, they were speaking for him. So there was a time where Bruce got on me for being late for batting practice, literally 1 minute late for batting practice. And he met me at the line, and I had been doing an interview on the field. Maybe with you, Randy. It's probably your fault.
Probably.
And so I get on the field, and he says, what time is it? And I said, it's 5:01. He said, 5 o'clock is Whitey's time. Don't ever be late again. And I remember that moment like it was yesterday. And the late Bruce Suter, was telling me something, that he was speaking for Whitey. Whitey had his back, and he had Whitey's back. And I realized, okay, this is the a clubhouse that does things right. Whitey's in control, but Whitey never, guys, never, and I've told you guys this before, I think, but Whitey never, I can't remember one time where he talked baseball to me. He would ask about my family. He would ask about fishing. He would talk about golf, but never about baseball, because he wanted his players to be relaxed around him. He felt like a tight ball player was not a good ball player, and he wanted to use his coaches and get messages through them.
Hey, Rick, it's great to be with you this morning. Thanks for hopping on. And Ricky Horton is our guest. Always a step ahead. We've heard that so much in his decision making. How did that pertain to guys in the bullpen?
Well, we knew one of the, I think of the story, Danny, of when Scott Terry was traded to us in 1987 and was part of our team down the stretch. And he got to the bullpen the very first day. Ken Daly told him, he says, okay, in the fifth inning, the phone's going to ring. Back when they, you know, we could actually answer the phone at the time. Dave Ricketts was our bullpen coach, but there are times where we would actually go answer the phone. He said, it's going to be Whitey. He's going to want you to get up and get loose. And then he's probably going to try to get you in the game in the eighth inning because of where the score is. And it happened exactly as Ken told Scott. And the point is, we knew when the phone rang who it was for. Even before the phone rang, we would start to stretch. And our roles were very clear and identified, again, through the coaches, through Dave Ricketts, through Mike Rourke, the pitching coach. And so, you know, we had a very good idea of what, and so we were learning baseball from him. Frankly, he was the guy that essentially invented bullpen by committee, and he I think coined that phrase. Really, I can't find where it was used before Whitey, and many people say that he's the first one to use it. And so it was kind of nice to be a part of that, because you realize that anything that you did was important to the team's success, even if it was minor. Even if it was getting a left-hander out in the seventh inning, your work was important to the team.
Hey, Ricky, can you relay the story about when you were on an elevator with Whitey and maybe you had to say, hold on, Rad, I'm right here. What happened?
So this also involves Scott Terry, and thank you, Danny, for bringing that story up.
I'm sorry.
It was great. Honestly, it's a sweet memory. We were at the Grand Hyatt in New York, and we had a doubleheader the next day against the Mets. And Scott Terry and I were starting the next day. And, you know, the bus got to the hotel. And Scott and I get in the back of the elevator. A bunch of people cram into those little elevators there. They were small. And then Whitey pops on with a couple of coaches. And he's in the front row. And he doesn't know that we're behind him. And he goes, I can't believe we're playing the Mets tomorrow. And they got Gooden and Viola, and I got Horton and Terry starting. Can you believe that? So he says that to a bunch of strangers and to me and Scott. but as Scott tells the story, you know, Scott got off, was the first one to get off. He had to say, excuse me. And he walked by Whitey. He said, Whitey, have a good night. And Scott says it's the only time in his long-standing relationship with Whitey that he was speechless. He wasn't sure what to say. And the final part of that story is we beat the Mets in both games of the doubleheader. And so, you know, I guess we got the last laugh on Whitey.
Hey, Rick, I want to kind of combine two of your answers here, because you talked about how Whitey recognized that a tight player was not as good a player.
Yeah.
And the Mets rivalry. We all, as a fan base, you know it, you heard it. We hated the Mets, and we were emotionally invested. So did Whitey do anything to make sure that you guys did not get tight during that rivalry?
Well, I think he wanted us not to be tight, but I think he liked that. I think he still liked competition. So that's a fine line difference between, you know, what they always tell you. My college coach told me that the best baseball players are relax and concentrate. So it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, that's antithetical, but it isn't. I mean, you're relaxing your body, but your mind is focused. So he was really a believer in getting our mind right and not our body tight. I guess that's what I would say. And so, you know, there's some things that you put into somebody's mind that makes them kind of clench and kind of get uptight. But I think this was more of a fun thing, not fun. I think it was fun. I think it was fun for the fans too. Mm-hmm. I saw Ed Lynch yesterday or 2 days ago in Arizona, who was he was a pond scum guy. Mm-hmm. He was one of their pitchers. And I ran into him, former general manager in the big leagues, and the first thing he was talking to me about was about Daryl Strawberry, and he said, I can't believe Daryl Strawberry moved to St. Louis of any places. Why would you move to St. Louis? And of course, we know the answer because his wife's from there. But he still remembers that rivalry, and it was a heated. And I think Whitey would stir the pot a little bit on that. And he did that. He did that by what he said with the press. He was great at dealing with the press, better than any manager I've ever seen, because he learned from Casey Stengel, you know, let him ask one question and then just talk until you're done. Mm-hmm. And he would establish his agenda every day with the press. And that would include maybe occasionally an inflammatory thing about the other team, including the Mets.
I got one final question for you, Ricky. And again, thanks for your time. We know you got a baseball game later to call today. But what did bullpen guys think? And Whitey was so innovative, but having a guy on the mound, then putting a pitcher in the outfield, then bringing him back in. And what did you guys think when you saw some of that happen in unfolding games?
He was an innovator. He was brilliant. I say, Danny, that he was the best manager that I've been around. You manage the game, but you lead people. So as a leader, you should be doing both. You manage things, you lead people. And one of his innovative things was to do this thing, mostly with Todd Royal and Ken Daly, who were unhittable around that time. I got to say a very quick story. He put me in right field once. And the reason he did it is that he was out of players, and we were losing by 12 runs in Philadelphia. He came down to the bullpen. It was actually sent a pitching coach down to talk to me and Todd Worrell, and he said, Whitey wants one of you to go play right field next inning, but he really doesn't want Todd to get hurt, so Rick, you got to go do it. which I thought was kind of an insult. But it was actually a game where Okendo was pitching and Willie McGee was playing shortstop, if you can believe that. But you know, so the point is he was willing to think outside the box. And just a brilliant baseball guy. We're certainly going to miss him.
Ricky, you are a great immaculate grid answer, by the way. Played one game in right field for the Cardinals.
Well, and I just used this week Willie McGee playing shortstop in the big leagues.
I did too, and, Rick.
All right, good for us.
Yeah, I think 0.03% or something like that.
Exactly.
So hey, you guys sound great on the Cardinal Network, you and John and Klaibs. And I had to get you on because I know that how much you thought of and think of Whitey Herzog, and we just wanted to get you on to talk to you about it. We really do appreciate it, Rick, and we'll see you when the ball club gets back home.
Look forward to seeing all you guys when I come back. Thanks.
Right, thanks, Rick. Ricky Horton with us on 101 ESPN.